Hi, and welcome to episode 6 of EXP Boosting. I am Cindy, also known as Sakura Dragon.
And I'm Vanessa, also known as Pumptato.
And in today's episode, we had the chance to interview the owners of Honey and Butter, Leanne and Paul.
Honey and Butter is a macaron shop that resides out of Irvine and Costa Mesa, and they sell adorable character macaroons. For
macarons
for and it's they're very high quality and they're wonderful
and they're some of the best macarons yes. I ever had in my life. So we get to talk to them about how they took an idea and all of the obstacles that they went through to be a stable and successful business that they are today. So look forward to this.
Let's go.
Okay, let's do this.
Together, like,
that's okay.
Super strength.
I will hold it.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to bring you on specifically to talk about dealing with anxiety and stresses and like how things can be overwhelming in business.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that you come from a big world kind of history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys worked together, so that's why I really wanted you on, Paul, because mm-hmm. you guys had to work together, and I know that growing a business is a team, like no one can do it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question for you is, so what were some fears that you had when you were planning on Honey and Butter, like also the Airbus?
The Airstream?
Yeah, the Airstream.
The first big thing for us is money, you know, it's building out this brick and mortar, it's a big cost for us.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, like, a really big struggle that we dealt with at the beginning, mm-hmm. is be financially able to build this place out, because it's a big cost. Like
it is a big cost. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then another struggle we had was training the staff. So I guess the first step for us to identify what problems or struggles that we need to deal with, and then we deal with it one by one. Mm. And then after that, it's what other issues
well,
can you think of?
Before we even start, our biggest struggle was to find a suitable place for our shop, for our cookies.
Are we starting at the very, very beginning before
we're
we even start Honey and Butter?
Are we starting at the very, very beginning?
Or are we doing Irvine?
Because the struggles are just like intensify mm-hmm. once you're a little bit deeper
once you grow,
in
yeah.
the business. Okay. Yeah. So there are new obstacles that's showing up, and you need to find your ways through those obstacles.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
even before we started the business. When it was just an idea for us, mm-hmm. it's the first obstacle I encountered was finding a space to lease, because nobody would lease to us because we had no business history.
That's interesting. That's not something that I would think of as, like, if I were to try to go for order, I would not think that I would get denied because I wouldn't have history.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, nobody had faith in us, and so it was a big struggle trying to even find a place. And I went everywhere, you know, any space that says for lease, I call them. They either don't call me back, or we speak for a few minutes, and then they say, no, sorry, you know, we don't have a space anymore.
Oh, that's so hard.
Yeah, and It's a big punch in the heart, because, you know, you have this big dream and you have these high hopes, and then you go to people and they eventually turn you down, not one, not two, not three, but, you know, a whole bunch of people, everybody, actually.
Yeah.
And serendipitously, I came across the lab, and the Airstream was becoming available, and that worked out for us after all these rejections in the beginning.
Yeah.
So the Airstream worked out, but then there's no way we're going to be able to have a kitchen. So that's the second obstacle that we encountered, is we were planning to have something small, but we're going to be able to produce on site. That was my beginning goal.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's no way for us to build any kitchen in that Airstream. So mm-hmm. what are we going to do? And he's going to take you from there. How do we figure things out?
Well, luckily for us, we got cottage food permit that allowed us to...
We didn't do cottage at the beginning. But, we baked at an incubating kitchen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So we decided to bake off-site.
Yeah, I jumped a little bit. Because it was really expensive to use that kitchen, because obviously the rates are crazy. So we gotta have to find a different way to do it. And then the major subject here is the food permit, which was granted for us, and we were allowed to bake legally from home. Yes, but that was one of the problems that we solved. The other thing that I had is the like feeling, are we gonna sell enough? Like, are we gonna sell enough cookies to keep going?
I'm sure you still know? Have that here.
I understand, mm-hmm. Yeah, but obviously you want your product to be desirable and you want your product to be known, or you want people to come back, yeah. You know.
To always be desirable, not just, you know, first year, second year, third year.
Yeah, to be interesting and desirable.
To be timeless, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You want, basically, if it comes to food, you want people to crave your product.
Yeah, you don't want it to be a fad.
Yeah.
Like something.
I don't want to be a one-time deal. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of places there that are, let's just say, are using
the gimmick.
They're using some certain merchandise or your sort of certain businesses, some brands. They that basically are one-time deal. You go to those places and you never come back. We wanted to have this like a nice, genuine family vibe with good, not overly expensive food that we can serve to people that will appreciate us and that will come back. Just genuine idea like that. And I thought we, at the beginning, was really slow. Oh my God, it was just slow and stressful. It was like, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm not really experienced in this profession and in this business. I don't know how to market myself. I don't know how to spread the word really well. And all, I was actually on the customer service as well as baking.
Oh, you were working two jobs.
I was, working two jobs. And with my half-broken English and, I guess, a positive attitude, I was able to sell pretty much a lot of cookies. And sometimes I was spending with a customer 20 minutes just talking, not about the product even, which should be, you know, that you should talk about the product and, you know, how did you come up with the ideas and how did you think about the flavors and stuff like that. But it was just like building the relationship from the scratch, and a lot of people were coming back because, you know, they wanted to, I guess, see me and see whatever else we come out with, and, you know, how did we grow. It was fun, you know, and shortly after that we met a really huge demand that It was really hard with our production, so we
had to...
So that's
the third struggle, is production.
Yes. So there's like steps,
basically. Now that we solved the lease or location problem, and...
now that we're selling enough...
And now the baking problem, now we don't bake enough. You know, like once the word gets out...
That's the best problem, but it's still a big problem, you know?
Yeah, it is a problem because you don't want to leave people disappointed. You know, they come and they don't have anything.
Oh no, that's so sad.
Right.
That's so
sad. Uh-huh.
I mean, but, I remember I was watching you guys for a long time. So when you guys were only at the Airstream, I just saw so many Yelp messages about how we waited 2 hours, and by the time that they got to the counter, you guys were out.
And it's also another stress that actually is still here, anxiety, is that whenever we make like a really good, great theme and a really great collaboration, obviously we have a lot of people coming, a lot of fans coming to support both us and the brand that we collaborate with, and we make a lot of cookies. We really make a lot of those creatures that requires a tremendous amount of time, and unfortunately it happens very often that we're selling out of those creatures. And when we're selling out, there's still a line. Someone has to go and tell those people,
so,
and it's really
thing,
hard. Uh-huh. Like it's a really big struggle. Like I am always finish.
Now we're like fighting to talk.
No, it's a big struggle to tell those people, oh, we're sorry, but we don't have enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we just sold out of creatures. We don't have any more designs, and nothing is gonna come out this day. It's already like 6:30 p.m. You know, all the bakers are basically gone. Maybe Leon and I are left, but we're not able to just produce them in time. It's impossible. It just takes so long.
Now, over time, I accept it. You know, and it's at the beginning, I always, it's like, I spend nights thinking, like, oh my gosh, people are disappointed, they're sad because we don't make enough. But I learned that it's not that they're disappointed because we run out of product. It's the communication.
Correct. You need to be transparent with people.
So what we learned to do is we would communicate with people who's standing in line how much we have left. And once we run low, once we run out, and then we would go there, we would tell them, or we would communicate over social media that while supplies last only, come here early if you want a whole set, or if you want something, you got to make sure to come in early because everything is limited. Mm-hmm. Now, before we didn't know, you know, but over time we learned how to handle customers, how to communicate, and how to basically not upset too many people. So, and it worked out really well so far when when we run out of something, or when we run low, actually, we go down the line and we tell them we're low on this design, we're out of this design. People are okay.
Yeah,
you know, it's their choice. Their choice to either stay in line or go. You know, and once they're given that choice, they can make an informed decision if they want to stay or if they want to go. But then if you don't tell them anything and they spend 2 hours in line, they come to the counter and there's nothing left, and they get upset. I would be too.
Reasonably.
Yeah. So we learned how to handle it, and then over time I just accepted, and then I'm okay now. But at the beginning, it eats me from the inside to know that, oh my God, these people are so upset at us because we don't make enough.
So how do you deal with that kind of like that anxiety without taking it out on the other?
Oh, I do.
How do you guys learn to work through that?
At work, we're professional, but at home, it's sometimes I have these meltdowns. I'm like, oh my God, Pavel, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. But I guess once you get past that meltdown phase and then you sit down together and you talk about finding a solution, then that's when it starts to work. But I feel like he's there for me whenever I just can't take it anymore.
Sounds like you just need some time to kind of break down a little bit.
Yeah, there's like my outlet. There's a time when the glass is too full, and you know, I'm just kind of, okay, I gotta explode, because if I don't,
you're gonna die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and that brings up another point. I've always admired you for your like self-care, and on Instagram, you're always showing like play games, you take vacations, like you're not at work during store hours because you're out with your doggies, and I'm like, if only I could learn to like practice that kind of self-care. Do you have any like advice about how to turn off work? Or like, I know a lot of people tend to overwork when they run a business, right?
Oh no, I get it. At the beginning, when Irvine first opened, we worked like 16 hours a day. And then after a whole week of that, being here at 6 a.m. and then going home at 10 p.m., it drains you. Yeah. It kills you. You know,
really,
and then
strenuous,
getting up the next day to do the same thing after a whole week, you know, I think the best decision that we made to kind of get work-life balance is delegation. Mm-hmm. So we find the staff that we trust, and we train them, and then we delegate tasks to them, and so that way we're able to divide all the labor equally among people who's capable and can handle for us. Because there's only two of us, so there's so much work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you got to be able to find people who you can delegate tasks to, and you got to be able to train them to bring them up to that level that you can trust and have peace of mind when you leave, things will get done eventually.
Obviously, if you delegate, you need to do it reasonably. Like, you cannot have, like, one amazing person that you're going to give everything.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, you got to have a team. That's the main goal.
Yeah, so I think one amazing thing that we were able to accomplish here is training an amazing team. Mm-hmm. So that way we're able to have that work-life balance. Because if we don't trust anybody, or if we don't delegate our tasks and just do everything ourselves, it's just kind of, it's impossible.
It is impossible.
Yeah, yeah, it is impossible to run this place.
Yeah.
And especially if you want to expand, go to another location or grow, you know, you can't duplicate yourself and move yourself to a new location. You got to have people to manage multiple locations.
When you first moved to Irvine, what was one of the biggest obstacles that you faced regarding not enough staff?
That's and not only that, we had enough staff, but they weren't well trained. Yeah, we didn't have enough time to train them. We had Irvine Company hovering over us, telling us we gotta open, and you know, we opened and we weren't ready, and our staff isn't fully trained, and we basically didn't know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. But we were able to produce enough cookies to last us for like a few hours, but then eventually there's no product to sell. But and over time, you know, you learn from your mistakes, you grow, you refine the operations, and we're able to have a much better work-life balance now.
It really shows. I'm very envious.
So you need to get yourself a good dedicated team, Cindy.
Team? I'm like, it's one person right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It starts like that.
Yeah.
So. It was just us two at the beginning, too, and then we realized we can't do everything. So we hired staff to sell for us, and so we're just basically mostly focusing on production at home. And that was the first step, you know, to realize that you can't do everything and you got to delegate some of the tasks to someone else. Get an assistant.
I have a lot of friends that like
get a capable assistant would be my my advice to you if you want to have more of a work-life balance, or if you don't want to feel guilty that I should be working, not playing, but then you're not taking good care of yourself because you're always working. Yeah. Get an assistant. But get somebody capable.
Yes. That's the hard thing to take home is ask for help. Don't ask for help.
Yeah, you can't do it all.
Wait, okay, so also I skipped a very important question, and it's, we start with this every podcast, so what games are you playing right now?
Where can I start? I'm actually in the middle of multiple games. I actually stopped playing Destiny 2 because he is just way too far ahead, and I can't catch up with him, so I got angry. I'm like, I'm not playing with you anymore. And then I'm in the middle of finishing Breath of the Wild,
Zelda,
and I'm starting to get a little bit back into Diablo 3, but the recent announcement from Blizzard breaks my heart.
Wait, in the good way, or what kind of breaking your heart? Because when you first messaged me, I didn't know about the bad.
It wasn't what I wanted, basically. Okay, yeah, okay. I didn't want a mobile Diablo. I actually wanted maybe more content for Diablo 3 or just news that they're still working on something. Yeah. And I'll be, you know, I love the game. But
yeah.
I need something new, too. I can't be just, like, grinding all the time. Mm-hmm. But maybe they got multiple teams working on it. So hopefully Diablo 3 is not completely abandoned. But, I mean, I'm really excited for the mobile game, too. But it's just that so early in development that they don't know when the when the launch date's gonna be. Yeah. So I'm just like, okay, it'll be ready when it's ready.
Like, we don't want another Pokemon Go.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, trying to finish Breath of the Wild and then debating if I should hop back on Destiny 2 with this guy.
We also played Monster Hunter together as a team of two Monster Hunters.
Yeah, we don't play anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty challenging.
We just recently stopped playing because Destiny 2 Forsaken came out.
Yeah. We like co-op games in general.
Oh, yeah. So we can play it.
We actually started our relationship basically online. So maybe that's why we play games together.
And this is a story that we tell everybody. Yeah. We met online playing Neverwinter.
Online. Yeah. We were in the same guild. How fun.
You're insane. So when I play video games with my boyfriend, it never works because I'm really competitive. And he's very happy-go-lucky. Right? And then he'll die at the same obstacle 5 or 6 times. And then, I'll be like, hey, watch out for that. And he keeps doing it. And then I'm like, stop dying. Stop, right? And
you
then
we'll suck, noob.
Right?
So, I'm really impressed that you guys can play together. Because games are very high stress.
I feel like we're the opposite. Because he's the one that's just so good. And I'm just like, okay, stop carrying
me. You're really good.
I can't. Just let me kill something. Please. Stop killing everything. But,
okay, I can see why you guys can work in the same shop together now. It started very early.
Yeah. I'm pretty competitive too, but then when I'm grouped with this guy, I'm just like, okay, I'm done.
There's no hope.
Right?
No, she's really good. She's just humble right now. But she's really good at games. And other things. Baking, definitely. Very
and
good.
And managing.
And very good at managing. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thanks.
Okay, yes. So another question, video game related.
Okay.
When you play MMOs, so I think maybe Monster Hunter, what class do you normally play?
It's a good one.
Was there classes in Monster Hunter?
There's
a weapon.
There were
right?
Yeah, I would say class. Yeah, there's classes. Yeah, I would say.
Refresh me. What classes?
Yeah, there was like a heavy bow gunner, or there was a mace user.
So that's basically the class. Weapon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I used the charge blade, and then I tried using the switch axe.
But usually in games, what would you go after? Like a wizard or warrior,
tank or healer?
What would you go for?
I'm all over. You know, I've played so many MMOs before.
We did play tanks.
I play tanks. I play DPS.
Wizard,
I play heals.
Neverwinter. Yeah.
Support, mains, we're
super flexible.
We spanned everything.
Yeah.
And my favorite class, usually, I always gravitate towards heals. So that's the first class. That's the first class I go. But then after that, maybe like I'll try tank, I'll try DPS. But my very, very first character would always be heals.
I'm so impressed. She's very patient.
I just like to sit back and throw heals. Okay, you piss me off, you're gonna die.
you like to control. Good.
Yeah. I like to
protect you.
Yeah.
Alright, so listen, Vaughn. If you could thank somebody who helped you a lot or supported you a lot through your journey, who would it be and why?
Oh, there's so many people that we cross paths with.
There's a lot of people that helped. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Mom would be one. Mm-hmm. Mom's great. Pavel has always been there since day zero.
Pretty good.
But if we don't have to thank Pavel, Mom would be the first person. Mm-hmm. And there's also our friend Jimmy.
Oh,
and Jimmy
yes.
has been a great help to us.
Amazing.
He's our designer, architect, general contractor. But and also we have a great friendship together too. And then there's Tyler, our silent investor that we rarely see anymore. But Tyler's been great too.
There's so many people actually.
Yeah, I'm grateful for everybody.
We can literally spend like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like near the Oscars and you have the whole list of people that you gotta go see. Our customers, our staff. Yeah, I'm grateful for
so
everybody.
The success of the business is not even like success of two people with brain minds or multiple people. Yeah, multiple people. Mm-hmm. And friends of those people. And family
and
of those
customers.
People.
Yeah.
And awesome customers.
And the staff.
It's like every little person, every little soul pitches in.
Uh-huh.
Like a little bit. And that's the success, basically. Mm-hmm. Like you probably cannot achieve that alone.
You don't need the help.
It goes back to the beginning. You need
help.
And you need people who love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I remember when I first started my Kickstarter, I had just quit the job. So, like, to me, like, doing art was supposed to not be okay, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
if you do art as an Asian child, you are a bad child.
Yeah, that's what my mom said to me.
Yeah.
When I first wanted to start it, she's like, no, you finish your teaching credential.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so when I launched the Kickstarter and I saw the list of people who had me, they were all people I had met through anime conventions and like doing something.
Very awesome.
I like cried. I cried for the first 2 days. And then like we kept hitting these goals that I never imagined we would get. So every night I'd be like, I'm so thankful for my fans. Oh my god, I love you guys so much. And I don't think they really understand the extent of how much they like keep us going, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So precious.
Great questions. Keep them coming.
Okay.
If someone had a dream and they didn't know where to start, what would be the best advice you could give them?
What kind of dream?
Yeah, that's
like
a lot.
Like to start a bakery or just to pursue something they personally passionate about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. something they're passionate about. It could be a bakery. It could be starting their own business even.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the best advice?
I think the main thing is to be patient and prepare to put a lot of time into what you're doing. Because if you're just putting a little bit of time and I don't know, doing anything else on the side, it's going to be really hard.
Just
you know?
Go for it.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
Yeah, you just go for it. If you're half afraid
mm-hmm.
and if you think, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the day after, and you just kind of settle into
mm-hmm.
you know whatever that makes you comfortable or your stable job or something like that, then you know it's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
And but it's you know it's easy for me to say right now because I have his support.
Right.
Yeah, so I could throw my entire self into pursuing something I love. But let's say if you don't have any financial support, or if your rent is gonna be short next month, and if you can't just spend the next 3 months throwing yourself into your passion, you know, so it's really hard to for me to just sit here and tell you, just go for it. Just
go for it. Because sometimes it's like, you know, your dream is very cash dependent. Like, you really need to have a capital to start on it. And sometimes it's less. So it depends on the situation, you know.
But if you are able to, just go for it.
But, but
don't sit on it. Yeah. Just do it.
Even if you don't have the capital, you should start putting something on paper, creating the ideas, maybe run some numbers in your head, maybe just figuring out, look at the YouTube videos, get more into the subject, get some knowledge, get some help, definitely, again. But, you know, you should start doing something. Even if you don't have money right now, maybe you should start saving.
Yes, or that was really good advice. I received at the very beginning. It's like, when you're working, even if you're just working part-time, save a little bit of money.
Just a little
bit. Even if it's like $15 or $20.
Have a goal.
Yeah.
Like, set the purse.
Yeah. And then after a couple years, you'll have enough to maybe buy your first round of supplies. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it should, like, little by little, it will.
So maybe start small, set some goals, and
keep
moving forward.
Because every problem can be broken down into smaller problems. And
And then so, instead of advice for other people, what is the best advice you guys have received and like still remember on a daily basis?
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know if we received any advice on my life. It's funny. No, it's really funny because when we were struggling, you know, like, no one was really around to help. And I feel like we were the only ones that picked ourselves up. But when we were stable and comfortable, all these people come through the door and then tell me, maybe you should do this. You should do that. And then, like, I know myself. I know my business.
Really,
I know what's the best
point
for me. But it's just, you know, I'm patient. I listen to them. But at the end, it's we know our business best.
That's a very good point. Yeah. So the point of this, what Leanne said, in my opinion, is that not every advice is good for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you need to think about it and put some heart into it. If it feels good, go for it. If it feels kind of not certain, then maybe it's not a good advice.
Even if it worked for somebody else.
If it worked for somebody else, yes.
Yeah. I had to learn that the hard way when I first started.
Oh, yeah, the hard way is the worst. But, you know,
did you follow someone's advice and it worked
so,
for you?
Like, right when I quit my job, there was advice that I was desperate to get my footing, right? So I tried a bunch of different things that strayed away from my universe. Like,
What did you try?
Instead of trying to draw anime characters or like cute creatures, I was trying like landscapes like
something very serious,
like more classical art, and it just felt like
not your style.
Or I was trying to do like more products, but I like illustration, I like storytelling, but I had to learn that about myself before I could say no, that didn't work for me, and now I know why.
But it's growth, you know.
It is growth.
You
have to
make mistakes, you learn.
That's
how you learn, though.
Okay. So we're almost out of time. Like, I want to... What is this?
Let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up for you guys.
Thank you. So, we usually... Oh, so first, where can people find you?
Online.
Okay. Yeah, they can find us on our website. They can find honeyandbutter.com.
Honey, letter N.
honeybutter.com. And they can find us on Instagram, Honey and Butter. Instagram would be the best because I'm very active on there. Mm-hmm. And they can find us either in Costa Mesa or Irvine Spectrum.
And we'll put your information on the website.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then finally,
so we're a physical store. So you can come find me here. I'm here almost every day.
So at the end of each episode, we like to ask our interviewees to just tell our listeners to just press start and go. So if you guys could say that together.
Press start and go?
Yeah. Just,
okay.
And you just press start and go in unison.
Okay.
Wait.
They got this.
Wait. Only ask two or everyone?
You two.
Okay. Teamwork. Mm-hmm. Press start and go. That's
press start.
Press start.
Yeah, not stop.
No, it is. It's stop. Press start and go. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Press start and go.
Yay! Thank you. thanks so much for your time. Yeah, and I'll
no, thanks you guys. This was a lot more fun. You know, I was at the beginning, I was like, okay, we're going to be able to talk about it.
Thank you for listening to the 6th episode of EXP Boosting. Next episode,
we'll get to interview Jeff Granito. He is a vector art illustrator, and he has done lots and lots and lots of work for brands that we know very well and love, such as Disney.
So we're going to learn a little bit about his background, having switched from a history bachelor's to graphic design and moving on to illustration. So look forward to that.
You can connect with us and check out our website at expboosting.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, expboosting.
See you next time.